Well, let me welcome you to our morning devotions here at Stevenson High Kirk in North Ayrshire. We've now come into November. Well, it is my prayer that you would experience such a wonderful blessing as you worship this morning. And may the sweet presence of the Lord fill your heart and your home. Well, in Psalm 27 we read, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent, and set me high upon a rock." Well, let's worship the Lord together as we sing in our opening hymn, Grace. This is a beautiful hymn by City of Light.
Thank you.
Well, let us now unite our hearts in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we draw near in prayer to the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to the one who loves us, has cleansed us from our sins by his blood, and who has made us to be kings and priests forever. O, to you be glory and power for ever and ever. And as we enter your comforting and healing presence this morning, we acknowledge that this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And so we lift up our hearts and lives to you, giving thanks for every blessing. O Lord, wash us clean, sanctify us, beautify and transform us, that we would resemble Christ more and more each passing hour. And may your forgiveness taste sweeter each day. O, touch our broken lives. Touch us in our weakness, in our frailty, in our insecurities, our doubts and our fears. Lord, fill us with faith, hope and love. Empower us with your Spirit, and may your strength come on display upon our frail lives, so that the world may see your power and your glory. O Lord, move in power through this time together. O, that your Holy Spirit would overwhelm our hearts, flowing out into our families, our streets and our communities. Lord, bring healing, bring mercy, bring peace, bring renewal and bring refreshing. O, let your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven, and let the power and the glory be yours for ever and ever. And so, Heavenly Father, we now pray in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen. Well, I'm now going to ask Daniel to read to us from the Word of God. Thanks so much, Daniel.
Our Bible reading is taken from Revelation, chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of God. To him be all the glory. Amen.
Well, this morning, I would love you to turn with me to the first chapter there in Revelation, and where we consider John's great outburst of praise and adoration, as we read there in verses 5 and 6. Well, John's not alone in doing this. Remember the Apostle Paul? He also had a habit of being so caught up with such passion and praise to Christ as Redeemer. Well, remember when Paul wrote there in Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Again, he wrote there to Timothy in chapter 1 at verse 17, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honour and glory for ever and ever. Amen." Isn't that lovely? Even Jude writes at the end there, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Oh, I like that. They have such a love and a passion for Christ and for his glory alone. Well, John, the beloved apostle here, is the same. Here in Revelation, he just can't help overflowing with praise and adoration in his worship to Jesus, the faithful witness, the prince of the kings of the earth. When you look at the apostles and the early church, with all that they had suffered, their hardships and struggles, yet at the name of Jesus, they couldn't help but tell of all that he has done for them and how they desire to serve and worship and glorify him. Well, as John sings here in verses 5 and 6, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen." Oh, what amazing words. Well, here, these words came from the very lips of John, the beloved apostle, who himself was in a place of deep hardship and sorrow. Here he is imprisoned on Patmos, working in the mines, exiled from Ephesus and from those he loved deeply. Yet a song now fills his heart, which opens the floodgates to glorious visions of his conquering King, the Lord Jesus. Well, in this song of the exalted Christ, we're invited to consider and to remember again what Jesus has done for us. But then John can't stop there. He then goes on to express what we can do for him. Well, I don't know what you're going through in your life at the moment. It may be that you have lost your job, your health. You've lost your song. You feel hopeless and helpless. You've been robbed of your joy, especially your joy in the Lord. Well, it's my prayer this morning that God would put such a song of love and joy back into your heart as he reminds us of what Christ has done for us. Well, here in John's song of praise, we notice what Christ has done for us, in that he hath loved us. John wrote in his first letter in chapter 4 in verse 10, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Again, in his gospel in chapter 3 at verse 16, we know the word so well, don't we? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Yes, remember what Christ has done for us. He hath loved us. I love the old gospel hymn, "The Love of God," where we sing these lines, "To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. There in the Psalms, we're reminded of that special love that God has for us, especially those who are broken, those of a contrite spirit, those who feel helpless and hopeless. Oh, the Lord loves us so deeply. Paul writes, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Peter, there, when he declared, I'm a sinful man, oh, yet Christ loved him deeply. The woman of Samaria at the well, she had five husbands and was in another relationship. Oh, but yet Christ loved her. Mary Magdalene, who had so many demons in her. Her life was in a mess. Oh, yet Christ loved her. The crippled, the lame, the blind, lepers, tax collectors, prostitutes, the despised, the rejected, those who felt uncared for, unloved, those who were broken. Yet they could say, He loves us. He loves us. They knew that Jesus loved them. Go through John's Gospel. Go through the other Gospels. Go through Paul's letters. Time and time again, we hear these words, Jesus loves us. He really does. God loves us. The Hebrew writer declares that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, the love of Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, John the Apostle has seen Jesus sweat. Well, John the Apostle saw Jesus sweat great drops of blood. He had seen him bound and flogged, pushed around, spat upon, soldiers beating his face to a pulp. John saw them there, pulling his beard out by brute force. He saw him nailed to the cross. John saw his beloved Christ with that crown of thorns, his bleeding side, the dying Lamb of God. Oh, he saw the great darkness come over Calvary. Yet he could sing with a full heart, unto him who hath loved us. Isn't that lovely? No wonder John goes into song as he thinks, as he remembers what Christ has done for him. Oh, his heart is just filled with joy. His heart is filled with praise. What a doxology. Oh, to him who loves me. Well, John can't stop there, can he? He goes on to say, and who hath washed us from sins in his own blood. In Isaiah 53 at verse 5, we're reminded that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Well, it was John Bunyan, I believe, who said my heart would pollute all that ocean. And Robert Murray McChane, the great Scottish preacher, said this, as the waters were higher than the highest mountains, so his blood can cover the highest sins. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Well, again, John the Apostle writes in his first letter in chapter 1, there at verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. And he goes on there into verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Well, John could say with a full heart, to him who loves us. Well, what has Christ done for us? He has loved us, and he continues to love us. Nothing can ever separate us from the love of Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Again, can I ask, what has Christ done for us? Well, he's also washed us of our sins by his blood. I love the old gospel hymn, down at the cross where my Saviour died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. But you know, not everyone can sing this gospel song. Well, the angels, we know, can't sing this song. They don't need to be saved and washed by the precious blood of Jesus. But we do. It's not enough to believe your Bible, to believe that God exists, to believe even that Jesus died on a cross. We need the blood of Jesus applied personally to our hearts. Yes, we need to go to Christ for cleansing, Christ alone. We need the blood applied to the lintels of our souls. But how do we do that? Well, we must go to Christ. We must trust in him alone. Only Christ can save. Oh, how he loves us. How he desires to wash us clean, to forgive us, to cleanse us of our sins. If that's your desire, therefore, come to this fountain, so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Saviour's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Have we experienced the blood of Jesus applied to the doors of our own hearts and lives? Then we're to come to the fountain of grace. Then we're to come to the fountain of grace, the wellspring of his love and mercy, and to cast our poor souls at the Saviour's feet. Yes, the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Through the precious blood of Jesus, we're redeemed, forgiven, adopted into God's family. And as John now sings, we're also made to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. Yes, he's made us to be kings and priests forever. I love that. Well, here is John on Patmos. He's a prisoner. He's a slave, working there in the underground mines at Patmos, living and working in the darkness there. Yet he sings, he has made us kings and priests forever. Well, by nature, we're slaves to sin. But John could sing that Christ has set us free. We're a new creation, no more in condemnation. Yes, we're adopted into his family, but more, God sees us as kings and priests. Remember when Jesus said, I do not call you servants, but friends. You're not beggars, but God's adopted and greatly loved children. John again writes there in his gospel, yet to all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Yes, when we've experienced the love of Christ, when we've been washed in his blood as we've gone to that fountain, we then belong to a royal family, the royal family of Christ. We're fellow heirs with Jesus, a royal priesthood. To him that loved the souls of men and washed us in his blood, to royal honours raised our head and made us priests to God. Oh, here John has been singing of what Christ has done for us. Yes, he has loved us from the beginning. He has washed us in his blood, and he has made us kings and priests forever. But now John goes on, in closing, with what he now desires to do for Christ. And so he sings, "To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen." Or as the King James Version puts it, "To him be glory and dominion forever and ever." Here John is singing because Jesus has loved us, because he has washed us in his blood and has taken us out of slavery. John now wants to give all the glory to Christ. Here, in a way, we see John throwing his crown at the feet of Christ, honouring Christ with all the glory. His song acknowledges Christ as Lord of all. Once John was master of his own life, but now Christ is Lord. Christ is number one, and John desires to live for the glory of God. He desires to live for Christ, to be spent for Jesus, to put a smile on God's face. That's the way he wants to live. Once he did things his own way, now he wants to live to bless God. Here John bows down and surrenders his heart, his will, his desires to Christ the King. John desires to live for the glory of his exalted Redeemer. Oh, may this be the desire and the longing of all our hearts. Oh, to glorify Christ in all things, through our words, our actions, our Facebook page, making time for God through worship, spending time in prayer, in his word, sharing with others, showing the love of Christ to our loved ones, our communities. Oh, to touch the world with the love of Christ. Well, once again, I love the words of Charles Haddon Spurgeon when he penned, "Meditate much on your Master and on your Master's love. Dwell with Christ, and whether you realise your love to him or not, drink in daily the sweetness of his wondrous love to you. Live on that, and often let your heart lift up a song of praise because of it." Oh, it is therefore my prayer that God would restore a song upon your heart, a song of praise, the song of Jesus, the one who loves us, who has washed us in his blood, who has made us kings and priests forever, fellow heirs with Christ. Oh, may we come this morning and drink from his sweet well of love and be strengthened again to live and be spent for his glory. Oh, amen. Well, before Helen leads us in our intercessory prayers, I would love you to pause for a moment and to think of those who you know personally, who have maybe strayed away from the Lord, who have lost heart, maybe your own family or friends or neighbours. Well, let's take this moment to lift them up in the quietness of our own hearts in prayer. And as we do that, can I also invite you to listen to this beautiful gospel song sung by a dear friend, Ruth Campbell. And then Helen will continue to lead us in our prayers.
Daughters, Jesus died for you and I. Come home, my child. Stop right in your tracks. God always welcomes you back. We pray every day he'll show you the way. Come home, my child. child. Lord, your truth has been told. Your seeds have been sown. But only you can break through. Please bring the prodigals home.
Let us pray together. O Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have confidence to come straight into your presence. We come with grateful hearts for your amazing love that allows us to stand before you, justified through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus. As the song says, listen to our hearts, hear our spirits sing, a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love. So listen to our hearts. We pray for a blessing on your word preached today. May many who hear respond to the good news of Jesus and turn to you in faith. We commit to your care all our sisters and brothers who are housebound or are simply afraid to leave their homes. Let them know your presence with them. As they listen to services online, may they be refreshed in your Holy Spirit and encouraged in knowing that you are always with them. We pray again for your peace to reign in these uncertain times. We long to see an end to the havoc caused by this virus. As numbers infected increase and hospitals are under pressure, we ask for your protection for all the NHS staff and other key workers. Do give wisdom to those in authority as they try to make the right decisions. Remember all the vulnerable people in our communities and further afield who are struggling to make ends meet because of lost employment and loss of loved ones who provided for them. May proper provision be made, and may no child go hungry. Fill us, Lord, with your compassion, and enable us all to reach out to help in any way we can. Thank you, Father, for your mercy and love. Help us to reflect Jesus each day. May we be a blessing to others, and may we glorify your name in all we do. Hear our prayers as we ask all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Well, thank you so much, Helen, for leading us into the throne room of God in prayer. And thanks also to Ruth Campbell, along with Susan Sterling on violin, as we remember the prodigals. Well, since we were considering Revelation chapter 1 this morning, therefore let's worship in our closing hymn, When Upon the Isle of Patmos. Let us go in the strength of the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us and remain with us now and always. Amen.